you that they didn't have things like that back in my early days.
Amen.
When I see you and the brother and Brother Hatfield walked in, I walked over and spoke to Brother Jimmy Hamrick. I saw faces here that I knew. Joy.
Yeah.
Joy. You can't manufacture it. And if a person puts on, you know, you can tell it right away. My heart is full of joy to be in Hopewell with ministers and people that I know and love. There's nothing like it. The psalmist said, how good and how blessed it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, we don't go around trying to find fault, picking fault. There might be some to be found here and there, but that doesn't interest me. And I have no fault with Hopewell Church. And I've had good fellowship with Primitive Baptists that I've known. In fact, I was raised by a Primitive Baptist mother.
That's got to the rear.
When she prayed, it was real. Well, I just wanted to say something before I open the Bible. Some years ago, I don't know how long it was since I made my first acquaintance with you here. I imagine I've been 10 or 12 years, but I don't know, but the thought comes to me, we have one opportunity to make a first impression. And there's another thought that follows up now. We have one opportunity to make our last impression too. I pray to God that my last impression will bring glory and honor to the Lord. I think just for a bit of humor and for breaking the ice a little bit, maybe you don't remember, but when I get started telling you will. When I took the lectern, and of course I had good things to say about Jimmy Hamrick, and I meant every bit of it. Breaking the ice, and I said, now you know all you hard shells are wrong. And I thought, now, they know Jimmy Hamrick, and if this fellow felt that way. So that's how part of how I made my first impression, but you got the idea pretty quick that was all facade. Do you remember that, Jimmy?
I guess I just let it slip out because it...
That's all right. It may not be worth remembering. I
guarantee you lots of things have slipped out of my mind.
But anyway, there was no one here that hurt me. They didn't attack me. And I went on to tell you that I was raised by a Primitive Baptist mother. And I am grateful to be here today. May God help you and help me in a very special way. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Men have a plan. God has a purpose. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but God directs his steps. We all make plans. Many of them we could not bring to fruition. We will be reading from Ephesians chapter 1, God willing. I want to speak to you on the thought, words worthy of God. Thoughts worthy of God. I have heard some words in my time from Christian people, Baptist people especially, not primitive Baptists, but Baptist people in particular. Some of their words I know were not God honoring. I think I'll relate just a few of those and then come down to God's Word. A brother of mine, whom I cherished dearly, he's 5 or 6 years older than I am now. We were talking at home, and he's an Armenian. I believe he knows the Lord, but he's still an Armenian. We were talking, and of course, my family knows how I feel and how I believe, and we were talking about the sovereignty of God. And it came down to the point that I asked him, in other words, you're saying God has done all he's going to do when maybe the little truth is preached and you get an invitation? No, he said God, before salvation, he said God has done all that's necessary before regeneration. That cut me very deeply. My youngest brother, about 3 years younger than I, we were talking on the same subject, which he didn't appreciate my stance on it. But he said, if election is true, said, I think we have an unjust God. That was like a sword. I suppose he died that way, but on his dying bed in there for a few weeks, a minister that he wanted to speak to was me. And his wife said he likes you better than any of the others, and I think she meant the preachers that he knew. He didn't know any Sovereign Grace preachers. He only went by what he was told by others about how awful we are. A lot of people think that. I am glad to be here, and I am full of joy. Men have a plan. God has a purpose. Amen. The wicked can proceed no further than the length of the tether with which God is tied him.
Right. That's right.
Saul of Tarsus had a plan, and he was adamant, but he didn't get to fulfill that plan that day. And on the road to Damascus, he was not thinking, you know, maybe I need to rethink this thing about Christianity. He was persecuting Christian Jews. And he caused a lot of them, through his own influence, to be put to death. That's one thing Saul of Tarsus, known to us as Paul, never did forget. I know he said in Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. He meant that doesn't stand in my way claiming God's grace.
Amen.
But he didn't forget. And he said in 15th to 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, he said, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. I'm the least of the apostles because I persecuted the church of God. Paul was the only one of the apostles that had persecuted the church of God. The only one. Others didn't believe immediately, but they come to believe. All the rest of the apostles never persecuted the church of God. Paul did. It's no wonder that he knew and felt deeply that the blood of Christ was payment in full to God. Psalm 76 and 10, surely the wrath of men shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Saul of Tarsus was full of wrath on his way to Damascus, but he didn't fulfill his plan. God fulfilled his purpose.
Amen.
I find in the Bible that God doesn't say, I wish. Mm-hmm. He never says, uh-oh. God says in a place or two, I've repented, but that just means that in his sovereignty, known to you and me, he showed you something in place of it. God doesn't have to change his mind. He doesn't have to do that because he's perfect.
Amen.
Do you ever stop and think, brother, the grace that he showed when he gave his only begotten son, he withheld not his own son to save people like us, to save people like me. What grace he showed, he gave his only son. Christ gave himself. We serve a great God. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder rest thou shalt restrain. God is long-suffering. He bears long. He could come out in judgment the first day you sinned. But he didn't. And in the life of some of us, he waited and suffered long. I was closer. I'd done the team my 25th birthday when God stopped me. He did a lot of long suffering. Man is set in his ways. And God is set in his purpose.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God don't beg people.
No.
Mm-hmm.
He gives a command. It's full of grace. And I tell you, when God says come, the elect persons come.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. If it wasn't that way, we'd never come.
Right.
Men are set in their ways, and they believe that their human reasonings have reached satisfactory conclusions on everything, life, death, and eternity. You can't convince a person, especially one that's lived a long time in sin. He knows everything. He's got doctrine all figured out, and he probably hadn't spent 2 hours in his lifetime reading the Bible. Oh, Lord of mercy. God does have mercy on us, doesn't he?
Yes. Amen.
Saul of Tarsus. Now, there's a man that surely did fail on his first plan. He asked the Lord two questions. You know, that light that was brighter than the midday sun put old Saul on the ground, blinded him. It was brilliant, but that light wasn't the midday sun. It was the glory of Christ when he revealed himself to Saul of Tarsus. first question he asked, the Lord said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Paul was trembling. He was astonished. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He called him Lord. Up until that very moment, Jesus of Nazareth was not true. He wasn't God's son. He wasn't the Savior of the world. But he said, "Who art thou?"
Lord.
Jesus said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the goads." Saul asked one more question, and that's all. He said, "What will thou have me to do, Lord?" They called him Lord. The two men sitting by the wayside on the way to Jericho, blind men, they heard the commotion, footsteps, maybe people talking. Tromp, 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 and one of those blind beggars called out to someone. He could tell by the footsteps, "What's going on?" He said, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." That old beggar stood, cried out, "Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on us." And there is a time, you know, when you pause a little bit under God's grace before you realize any change really within you, but something. There's no burden like the burden of sin. You'll never pick up anything that heavy in your life. That's heavy. It breaks a person down to think about how we have sinned against God. King David said, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned." Mm-hmm. It was big on David's heart, not just in his mind. God was gracious to King David. You know, you get to thinking about the sins that King David did, and compared to the first king of Israel, King Saul, David didn't lose his kingship. He served it out. King Saul lost his because he intruded into a place where God did not offer him to go. He offered sacrifices, didn't he? He wasn't a priest. Paul was the only one of that bunch that had sinned that way. Jesus, in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, and this is a point that I dearly love. I love it all. 5 points. There are no 3-point Calvinists, and no 4-point Calvinists, and no 2-point Calvinists. John Calvin didn't invent any doctrine. He was pretty good at putting it in a systematic form. But he didn't invent those doctrines. Paul preached that a long time before Amen. John Calvin was ever born.
Amen.
Jesus said in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, "I give my life for the sheep." The person on the cross, being the Son of God, having purposed to die for his sheep, he knew his sheep and he called his sheep by name.
Mm-hmm.
Christ died for them, the sheep. The sheep were never goats.
Yeah.
And it looks like goats will never be sheep, but I won't get out there on that one. God accepted the payment
yes.
that Christ made. nothing like it.
No.
Sinners like me in the first place didn't have anything to offer God. We have nothing to pay for our transgressions and sins. He knew his sheep by name. They followed him. He died for them. Saying all of this is to say that Christ, our Redeemer, had no thought of dying for an indiscriminate mass of people, but for a particular people.
Amen.
Not for no one in particular. Christ had people, not just a mass of humanity. The Bible bears that out, but you can't tell an Arminian that. There have been Arminians that God converted and brought more fully into his way. Let us look at Ephesians. I told you all ago we could read from it. Saul of Tarsus learned his lesson. God appointed him as the apostle to the Gentiles. And he's special.
Right.
What a man. Wouldn't you like to talk someday to some of those old Bible characters? I mentioned that to one of our brothers, and he said, you're not going to know them. You're not going to recognize anybody over there. Well, I believe we will.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Let us read about seven verses in Ephesians chapter 1. And pretty often, Brother Cochner, that teaches the Bible class in our little church at Rusk, resorts to Ephesians. I don't scold him about that at all. I love it.
Yes.
When he goes back to Ephesians, he will say, I've taught on this before. And I will say to him, you haven't worn it out yet. What joy. What joy. This is for people who Christ brought into the heavenlies. We sit in the heavenlies in God's purpose.
Yes, yes.
We are still bound to earth until the Lord comes or we die. Let us read. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Don't you think he remembered the Damascus Road?
Yes. Yes.
By the will of God. To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What a prayer. What a desire for him, for his people. And you know, I think God answered that remarkably. Which of you feels like you've never received grace? Well, there wouldn't be a one of you. You live by grace. It was grace that saved you.
Amen.
Grace will take you home.
Amen.
God's not going to change his mind about his people. Some folks say, you look at the book of life and it's got some eraser marks on it. Some even go so far, and that's some of that Arminian stuff. A man I know real well said, if you can be saved first time, you can be saved again. They cheapen the value of the death of God's own Son.
Amen.
It's not a boast to claim the promise of God.
No.
I don't believe we do it in a cavalier country club atmosphere,
no.
though.
No.
as we read verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You're not missing any blessing that you really need now. Spiritual blessings. I'd rather have those. Let me live a meager life as far as wealth. Hadn't you rather have spiritual blessings than to be the richest man in the county? God knows we have needs. And I guess all of us time to time could have used a few extra dollars. But I'll tell you, sometimes poverty builds character. It's not like building criminals today. In the first place, people that are said to be living in poverty are really doing quite well. Enough of that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What would be one of the first and most important spiritual blessing that God would bestow? I believe it would be that He showed you who He is. It's nice to know fit figures of old, presidents, statesmen, and all that, but the most important thing is to know God the Father, God the Son,
amen,
and God the Holy Spirit. In salvation, you become intimately acquainted with God. There's a story told about the instructor receiving a whole load of recruits in the army. No, it wasn't him. It was a college president. And he said, there's two things I want you to know right now. There is a God, and you're not Him.
Amen.
God help us. God loves humility in His people. Anytime we get a bone of arrogance in us, God has the ability to bring it down, and He can get it fixed to where that doesn't show up too often in us anymore. Not perfect by any means, but someday. Someday we will be. He had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, or literally in the heavenlies. Our home is not, this world is not our home
right. Forever.
We've lived here quite a while now, but we're looking up. Oh, but will God receive me? I got some things, and you know, I'm not proud of. Well, I say, who doesn't? Who doesn't? Anybody so perfect here that they could raise their hand and say, I've never committed one sin of any caliber? I don't think so. I know there's fine people here, and they're made a lot finer by the grace of God. Verse 4, give special attention to that. He has blessed us with these heavenly places according as He hath chosen us in Him. Before the foundation of the world. Lord, are You talking to me? Are You calling my name? According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We weren't that way. God's grace has given us a good start. But when we get over there, and not until then, will reach that highest level of sinners saved by grace. The Bible is an amazing book. You know, there's some of these guys, the biggest churches in Houston and all that, they can talk for a long time and maybe never use more than one scripture, never refer to others, and they give you a good pep talk and all that you can do if you just stand up and walk. I'd much rather God hold my hand and you had too. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Some of that other way that Arminians talk, and I know a lot of Arminians. I'm persuaded there's some of God's people over there. They just hadn't learned all the lessons yet. They will learn them. It may be over there. They will be taught. They say, well, you have to cooperate with God. Did any of you ever hear that? You're a sinner, lost, dead. They don't use those terms like we do. No. You have to cooperate with God. Some of my own family. That, by God's grace, we won't ever believe that.
Amen.
Now, obeying God as a child is not necessarily, I don't think it's cooperating with God, it's being subdued by God and obeying God.
Yes.
He has the upper hand from the start.
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world, God chose. How they hate election, how we love it, how forceful the Bible teaches it. And yet they say it's only the best of the good that God chooses. That didn't work in Saul of Tarsus. And I'll tell you what, it didn't work in me either.
Right.
And gentlemen, it didn't work in you either. Lord have mercy. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He takes some that's ugly, he takes some that's handsome, he takes some that's beautiful, some not quite so beautiful. He calls a few rich men. But the Lord said it's hard for a rich man to enter because the rich man got his heart set on his bank account. But the Lord does save some rich people. Abraham was one of the richest men you can think of back in the Old Testament, 13th chapter of Genesis. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, that means the place is full grown children. Well, there come some people I know quite well, Brother Jimmy. That's my son, my daughter-in-law, and my two grandchildren.
Amen.
Yes, sir, things like that will cheer an old man up. Especially if you're their grandpa. Good to see y'all. Do appreciate you being here. And you was asking about Brother Hatfield the other day. There he sits right there, son. And Jimmy Hammond, your names come around pretty fast in our circle down in Cherokee County. Hopewell Church does too. Hopewell Church does. Tyler Primitive and others. I wouldn't take for being appointed here. Predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That's in the first chapter of Ephesians. It's to the praise of the glory of his grace. What? There's one old man that used to be on the talk show, I think, and talking about election. He said, I wouldn't vote for a dude like that. Did you know that God's people have reason to praise him for that very thing?
Yeah.
God lived in splendor a long time before he created man. Eternity. God didn't have to create man, but he created him anyway. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. People who know God's grace, grace believers, praise God for being sovereign over us.
Amen.
We might have had some different plans, you know. To the praise of the glory of his grace, they can't understand. Some people cannot understand how that any person could be happy about something like this. Well, first place, you're not going to scare the adamant unlost by teaching this very thing, because they don't believe it anyway. It's part of God's word. We love it. Our son was taught that way. And my daughter-in-law has come to that position recent times. I know in law she's my daughter-in-law, but in here she's my daughter.
Yes.
And I mean that. Sometimes scripture fails us, doesn't it? Sometimes it takes a while to get the best of a thought. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. A preacher came up from southern Louisiana to Brother Kozar's church one time. Have to get my thought together. This person died, Christian, and he went to heaven. Now this is just something people told, but they could be some truth in it. The first person that this new arrival there in heaven saw was glistering white raiment, glorified, and this newcomer walked up to him and said, you must be the Lord Jesus. He said, no, I'm not. He said, well, you're one of the old prophets. He said, no, I'm not. You must be one of the apostles. He said, no, I'm not. And he said, well, who are you? He said, I'm the thief on the cross.
Amen.
That's just man talk, but the substance of it is there.
Yes.
The thief on the cross didn't have time to do anything much for the Lord, but he did confess him, and he called him Lord.
Yes. Amen.
In verse 7, this is the last verse. Speaking of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Some folks say, well, Christ kept the law for us. I know Christ never broke the law, but there's another point there that I see. If Christ had kept the law for us before he died, we have to examine why did he pay the penalty for death. In his dying, he paid the price by his blood. Perfect in every way was he.
Yes.
I've enjoyed you listening to me. I can tell you that. And I want to say again our appreciation of you, and you have been more than just courteous to me here at Hopewell. There's none greater than Jimmy Hamrick. There's none stand taller than Jimmy Hamrick. And there's one right there that stands next to him, and I don't know if I recognize all the preachers in here. You're great. God bless, Jimmy.
Amen.
Brother, I'm going to have to